Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You ever hear that before? Yeah, it's kind of famous. In the context, you know the greater context, right? What's the greater context of that? That's actually Matthew 6, verse 10. What's the greater context? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory now and forever. The Lord's Prayer. We're not going to look at the Lord's Prayer today, but we are going to look at Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Ultimately, that is a prayer in the context of what we call the Lord's Prayer, or I like to call the disciples' prayer, because He taught the disciples how to pray. In the context of that prayer, it is a prayer, and that verse, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is really a prayer that says, Lord, come. Bring your kingdom here to this earth. Set it up. Lord, come. See, Jesus promised to come back. Did you know that? Yeah, I know we're really small today, aren't we? Everybody must be still down the shore. I came back, they all left. But you're engaged though, right? Right? By God's give us ears to hear, right? Okay. You heard Jesus is coming back, right? He is. He actually is. I mean, really coming back. Not just, spiritually, not just clandestinely somewhere. No, He's coming back to the earth. Yeah, just like I tried. Just like He said. I don't know exactly when. I believe it's sooner than later. But when we pray that Thy kingdom come, we are, in context, actually praying, Lord, come back, set up your kingdom. Set it up. I want it. I can't wait. I want your kingdom to come. I want Maranatha, the Lord, come quickly. I want it. I want the kingdom. I desire the kingdom. I can't wait for the kingdom. I can't wait till there's true peace on this earth. We pray for it, but there'll never be peace unless you come back, because you are the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace. I pray for true goodness and love to rule and guide this world. That'll never happen, Lord, if you're not here. So, Lord, come. Bring your kingdom. Set up your kingdom. He promised to set up a kingdom for 1,000 years here on this earth. By the way, that's not heaven. It's not heaven. And as wonderful as the 1,000-year reign, the millennial reign of Jesus will be, it's not heaven. Heaven is going to be more glorious. But there is going to be a real kingdom. I mean, He's really going to come back. He's really going to sit on the throne. He's going to be the boss in charge, Jesus. It's going to be amazing. And when you pray, Thy kingdom comes. So many times people have prayed that prayer just in rote praying of a prayer because they were taught that prayer when maybe they were a child or whatever. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. You don't really recognize what you're praying. Thy kingdom come. Lord, bring your kingdom here to this earth. I can't wait. And in that prayer, in the context, it's a kind of a pivotal point of the prayer, because it's like the focus is, hallowed be thy name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, praise and glorify thy name. And then the shift in the focus becomes, Lord, come back. We can't wait. Bring it on. Bring the kingdom to this earth. It's a plea for God's spiritual rule to be more than just a spiritual rule, to be a real rule on this earth. See, God is everywhere, and we'll talk in a little bit a moment about human hearts and that reality of God's rule or not, or God's not rule in those hearts. But we're actually praying, Lord, the future hope is it's never going to be right down here until you come. Every desire we have for, justice, for peace, for love, for all these, it's never going to happen until you come back. Until you actually literally set up a kingdom here where pain and suffering and injustice are gone forever and true love prevails, true peace prevails, true justice prevails. not some person's definition of justice, real justice, divine justice, God justice. And in praying that, we're actually praying. It's almost like even a call to action, which I'll get to in a moment. It's praying. It's a hope. It's a desire. But it's also a belief that, Lord, what has to be done? And as we pray, thy kingdom come, it's coupled with thy will to be done. Because you can't have one without the other. Right? You can't be the kingdom of God if his will is not being done. And if his will is not being done, it's not the kingdom. It goes hand in hand. Thy kingdom come, so your will be done. Control. You know, Jesus gave us an example of that. Now remember, Jesus is God. He always was God, always will be God. But he came to the earth as what? A human being. And he came as a human being, and as he came to the earth as a human being, one of the things that he did is he did the will of the Father. He came to fulfill the plan that was you know, before the foundation of the world, the plan of God for this. And when he went to the garden just prior to his arrest and then subsequent crucifixion, when he went through that great agony, he said in that time, Father, not my will, but thine be done. He showed us what it means. Set aside what he might in the flesh may have felt for a brief moment and said, no, Father, not my will, but yours. And when we pray, thy will be done, we are praying the same thing. When we truly mean it with our hearts, we're praying, Lord, we acknowledge that even when circumstances are hurting us, or even when circumstances are confusing, that we're not sure what's going on, when pain interrupts our life, when decisions have to be made and we're confused and we have doubts and all these fears, we say, Lord, no, to triumph over those fears and doubts and pain and all those things, Lord, your will. I trust in that. I'm trusting you. And I trust you more than anything else. And we're praying it happened, Lord, here. Happen on this earth. We live in a broken world. Is that news to anybody? We live in a broken world. Lord, come and fix it up. See, as I said just a minute ago, Jesus modeled that, you know, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. But he even said it another times in other places. Earlier, he said one time, this is just by way of an example of how Jesus modeled thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He was on the earth, right, fully God but fully man, but he came to do the will of the Father, and one day he had an appointment. He had a divine appointment, part of the plan of the Father, to meet this woman at the well in Samaria. And he went to meet that woman, and he was tired from his journey, and he sat at the well, and the woman came on schedule. Because God's plans are perfect. And Jesus had that conversation with her, revealed and began to talk to her about the kingdom of God and all these different things, to the point where she finally left her water pot and believed that he was more than just a prophet or a man, and that there was something special, you know, the Messiah standing for. And she went back to the people to tell them to come and bring them to hear for themselves what Jesus had revealed to her, and, you know, and this beautiful time that was going on, and he was doing that, and the disciples came, and they were first confused while he was talking to this woman, and then they realized that he was tired, hadn't eaten all day, and they went to find food, and they said to him after she left, you know, you didn't eat. You know what he said to them? My food is to do the will of him who sent me. John 4:34. In other words, I can set aside the hunger, because he felt hunger. Jesus felt hungry. He felt thirst. He got tired. He was in human flesh. I can set aside the hunger for a moment to do the will of the Father. I can set aside the thirstiness of my, you know, throat and tongue to do the will of the Father. I come and my food, my true food, I could sit here and eat all day. I could drink all day. But if I am not doing the will of the Father, then I'm not doing anything. So I came and my real food is to do the will of him who sent me. And more than just saying those words and doing those assignments, if you will, he also gave us, when he was on the earth, he set up the atmosphere of the kingdom of God. You say, well, how did he do that? Well, you realize that he came, and one of the things he did here is he healed sick people. Did you ever hear that in the Bible? He healed sick people. Did you ever hear in the Bible he raised the dead? Did you ever hear that? Did you ever hear that Jesus fed the people and the poor? Did you ever hear that he opened blind eyes? He opened deaf ears? Wow. You know, he even did things like casting out demons. You know what one of the things, beside those things validating him as the Messiah, do you know what one of those things, when he, all those things did? It set the atmosphere. This is what the kingdom looks like. You say, well, wait a minute. Well, wait, isn't God in control of everything? Yes, God is God. God is control of all things. But we know that because of man's sin, all these things entered into this world. And Jesus was coming to say, you know what? The world's going to look like differently. There's going to be no blind eyes in the kingdom of God. There's going to be no deaf ears in the kingdom of God. There's going to be no sickness in the kingdom of God. There's going to be no pain or suffering in the kingdom of God. There's going to be no hunger in the kingdom of God. There's going to be no mutes in the kingdom of God. There's going to be no demons in the kingdom of God. These all came into the world by sin, and I'm showing you what it's going to be like when the kingdom comes. So we set the atmosphere of the kingdom. There's not going to be those who are without anymore. Everybody's going to be satisfied in the kingdom of God. And, you know, he even demonstrated it even more than even just that, even just making the divine appointments and going all the way to the cross, you know, not my will but thine be done, you know, healing the sick and doing all the miracles and all those things to set the atmosphere of the kingdom. He even set aside personal gain and personal comfort. See, he was tempted by the devil when he started his earthly ministry. Did you ever hear that story? After he was baptized. One of the things is, the whole idea was the devil was trying to make him shortcut the cross, not go to the cross. He says, you came for these people? The hiss of the devil. Here, they're all mine. All the kingdoms are mine. I'll give them to you. Just worship me. I'll give them to you. Just worship me. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He refused the shortcut. He refused the comfort and missing the, you know, the cross of the thing. He said, I came to do the will and the plan of the Father. Get behind me, Satan. I'm going forward with the plan. And he did. And he chose to follow the plan, which was a sacrificial death on the cross for our sake. See, when we think of this, what Jesus did and how he showed it and how he modeled this to us, we have to get real within ourselves. Now, how many of you have ever uttered somewhere in your life, both to yourself and out loud, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Raise your hand, really, raise your hand. I got to make sure you're still awake. Okay, good. All right. You've prayed that? How many of you, when you prayed it, really wanted that? Ooh, okay, all right, okay. See, we have to be real with ourselves when we pray anytime. Jesus said this is how we should pray, right? This is his prayer to teaching us how to pray, right? So it's part of Jesus' prayer to teach us to pray. And part of that prayer was, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you know? And many times when we pray this, though we will not probably ever utter the words out loud, or wouldn't even be so arrogant as even to want to admit to this. But the truth is, many times when we pray that, what we are truly praying is, my kingdom come, my will be done. If we're going to be honest. If we're going to be honest with ourselves. You say, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Well, see, we have to understand that in our hearts, there's so much of what we think, and it's very easy for us. I'm talking about even those of us who have already accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. You'd say, well, yeah, the world, of course, thinks that way, but not us. I'm a child of God. Yeah, but if we're going to be honest with yourself, there's still that rebellious side within you. There's still that self side within us that even though we do desire the kingdom, and I know you all do, you want the kingdom to come. But at the same time, you pray that, and you're kind of thinking like, yeah, but is that kingdom going to be the kingdom? Well, I like that kingdom. Will I fit in that kingdom? Will it be a kingdom to my liking? See, because the truth is, you know, he's going to do it, and it's going to be his kingdom, and he's in boss. He's in charge, and you better get in line. And the best time to get in line is right now. Thy kingdom come now. Thy will be done now. See, so it's so easy for us to fall into the trap of praying something and even justifying it that we want it with our, you know, all of our hearts, when in reality we want it only if it lines up with what we really desire in our hearts. We can treat God sometimes like a divine, you know, vending machine, or a divine, you know, a lottery ticket, you know, or a divine, you know, genie in a bottle, or say kind of thing. And we pray for, you know, certain, say, financial blessings or promotions in a job or some other things. And we use it all with the guise of, Lord, this will help expand the kingdom, which really, and we're saying, is it's going to expand my kingdom. It's going to change my situation. And that doesn't mean that every time we pray for those things, it's wrong to pray them. But what we're doing is we're praying them with the wrong agenda in our hearts. And we try to justify it with things like spiritual words. Oh, Father, if you give me that promotion which comes with a great pay raise, I will be able to give more to the church. In reality, you're going to buy a bigger house and a bigger car first before you even think about giving more to the church. Do you understand where I'm going with this? And this is why we have to be real with ourselves. See, if I kind of heard Mark saying some of this before I even came up. If the underlying motive is just personal comfort or own luxury or social status, no matter how we try to dress it up, we're really praying, my kingdom come, my will be done. You know, how many times have you and I prayed, right, for the will of God to be done in somebody else's life? Right? Okay, that could be good. That could be wonderful. Unless it's your desire to change that person. Well, Lord, if you get my wife and get her in line up with your will, which is really saying, no, Lord, I want her to think like me and act like me and do what I said to do. What? I would never say, yeah, we do, because we want the will of God to look like our wills. We want the kingdom of God to look like our kingdom. If we're really being honest, so many times that's what happens. Oh, Lord, change that one. Do that so that I can, you know, this and that. No, what you're praying is, really, Lord, you want them to line up with you. Instead of saying, Lord, change me. Lord, help me. Help me to love the stubborn one. Because maybe they're not really stubborn. Maybe it's really us who's the stubborn one. And we don't want to see it from the different perspective. We can weaponize prayer in the desire, but really what it is, it's for personal, you know, comfort or vindication or revenge or control or whatever it might be. Oh, Lord, the kingdom will be great if my wife and I were in one mind. Yeah, whose mind? The mind of Christ or your mind? See, that's really where you have to get to the motives. You know, I've seen this happen. This next one I'm going to talk about, I've seen this happen more and more over the last decade or so. Maybe it goes back a little further than that. Because, you know, and I'm going to preface my words by saying, it is biblical to pray for those in authority. It's biblical to pray for, in our country, the president, the governors, the mayors, the, you know, the legislators, all these. It's biblical. It is biblical, but I've seen so much recently, so much more than ever before, this prayer of praying for a particular individual or party, and when that prayer, Lord, you have to put them in office because, Lord, that's the only way the kingdom will really come, you know, and no. No, what? No, no, no person agenda that we can, no human agenda is going to bring the kingdom of God to this earth. No human agenda is going to bring perfect peace. No human agenda is going to bring perfect justice. And yes, while we do pray, Lord, put in those, you know, but we pray, Lord, not what I see. See, we think that, oh, if this only this party and this one would do right a certain way, then it would be heaven on earth. No, it won't. No, it will not. Lord, bring in those who you want to bring in for whatever purpose you have. Because God has purposes greater than we can even imagine. And sometimes things have to get better to wake us up. I mean, worse, to wake us up. Not to get better. I said that wrong. Things have to get worse. So the church goes, oh, wait a minute. Oh, we've been too comfortable. We've been asleep at the wheel. Oh, but God didn't answer my prayer, so that this one, it would be so much better. Yeah, wait, whose kingdom would be better? The kingdom of earth, or your kingdom, your pleasure, your desires, so that when you turn the news on, you don't get frustrated? No, you know, what's God's will? What's his kingdom look like? See, sometimes you can even pray for something that is even in the will of God, but you can be praying amiss because you could be praying but putting an artificial human-induced timeline on it. Oh, God, save my children. Well, that's a good prayer. Now! Now, you wouldn't say it like that. And there's nothing wrong with wanting them to be saved quickly, but they might have to go through a whole lot. And you can't change that. And God may be desiring them to go through a whole lot, not just to make you twist in the wind, but maybe he's working something out within them or in somebody else. You know? Oh, Lord, I'm praying for someone in my life, a spouse or this or the other, you know, partner. Oh, Lord, bring them into my life, you know, now. And God says, you ain't ready yet. They're ready. They're going to be there for you. You ain't ready yet. You know? See, praying of the will of God also prays about the timing of God. See, I've been around the situation with people. And the next thing I'm going to talk about is where, you know, I've been with pastors and others, and they love the Lord. And I'm not judging their hearts and things, but I've been around them where, you know, the prayer wasn't outright this way, but the prayer was, oh, Lord, expand the church. But in their real prayer is expand my church. Not your church, my church. Lord, I want to get to 3 services a day. I want 10,000 people. Lord, I want the biggest, you know, group. I want the biggest, you know, musical group. I want the biggest sound system. I want the biggest parking lot. I want the biggest building. I want all. And they wouldn't say it like that, but in their desire, it's not the expansion of the kingdom of God. It's their own kingdom. You see where it can get messy, depending on what our heart's motives are? See, when we say, Lord, I want your kingdom to grow. I want the church to grow. Then it should be, Lord, grow your church, your people, however that works. Whether or not when John the Baptist was doing the will of the Father by baptizing people, there came a point in his ministry where the people had to leave John so that they could follow something better, someone better. And if the kingdom of God means that a particular church or ministry or something has to decrease so that the kingdom of God can increase, then you say, praise God, that's great. That's great. See, and sometimes we're also praying to God, and we're praying for things. And, like, you know, and again, I'm not telling you guys, all of us, not to pray about these things, but it's, again, the motives behind our prayer. So sometimes we could be praying God, oh, a good prayer, right? Good prayer. Lord, let our church be one. Let our church be unified. Let our church be a church of love. But in your heart, you're not willing to be obedient and set aside in your heart gossip, envy, you know? Unforgiveness. So you're praying for it this way, but then when it comes to you on a personal level, well, I can never sit next to that one again. You want unity in the church? Yeah, when it lines up to what you, it feels good to you. So Lord, kick out all the ones that I don't like. You know, I wouldn't say that again, but you know, that's the mindset. Oh Lord, well this one, you know, that one, make sure if they're going to sit, let them sit in that corner over there, and then I'll have unity. Oh Lord, make them only come once a month, and I'll make sure I miss that week, you know. No, unity means unity, right? Love means love. Forgiveness means forgiveness. See, so, you know, oh, Lord, it'd be so great if we're all one in you. Okay, then start with me. And that's where we're going to get down to now at this point. I'm going to try to bring this all together. Because, here's the thing. If you look at the King James Bible, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. If you look at most other translations, even New King James, any other, most modern, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. And there's this like theological question, is it in earth or on earth? In earth or on earth? Okay, well, okay, the Greek word is epi. You know what epi means? On, upon. Okay, so you say it's on. So what does that mean? Well, thy kingdom come. We said it earlier, the millennial reign of Jesus. Yes, the kingdom to come on this earth. Okay, that's true. In context, that's what it is. And the Greek words bear it out, on earth. But is in really wrong? No, and I'll tell you why. Because as you pray and as I pray for the kingdom to come, for his will to be done. And we know it's going to happen. We don't know when. It's coming, right? You can have surety in your heart that that is a prayer that will be answered. When you pray through your heart, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's going to happen, right? But part of that prayer is to say, Lord, as I wait for thy kingdom to come, as I wait for your will be done, Lord, have it be done in me. Start in me. Begin in my life. See, what did we say earlier? Jesus came to do the will of the Father, right? Well, let me ask you a question. Was the earth then the kingdom of God when he was on it? No. Was it the kingdom of God on this earth? Were they all following Jesus when he came to do his ministry? Were they all living with no rebellion and peace? When he came amongst them, what were they doing? They were doing like we're doing today. In rebellion, craziness, sin, everything going on in the world, right? So in essence, yes, God owns everything. God is king. Yeah, there's no big struggle between him and Satan. But when Jesus came here, he was on hostile territory, right? So what did he do? He came into hostile territory proclaiming and living the kingdom of God. That's what he left us here to do. Do you understand it? Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and I know it's going to happen, but in the meantime, Lord, thy kingdom come in me. Thy will be done in me. Because if you think about it, yes, it does mean globally coming to this earth, but you know what we are? Dust of the earth. Right? So, Lord, as you're preparing your kingdom to ultimately come, Lord, let the kingdom begin in my life, in my heart, in this piece of real estate. You with me? Because, Lord, as I am here, let me be a kingdom-minded person. Let me be one who thinks like the kingdom, who acts like the kingdom, who looks forward to the kingdom. But while I'm waiting for the kingdom, let the kingdom to rule and reign in my heart, because I heard that somewhere in the Word of God, that the kingdom of God is where? In you? Did you ever hear that before? Well, is it? Well, yeah, if you're a Christian, it is, but are you living a kingdom life? Are you living a life where you say, the Lord is truly on the throne of my heart? The true kingdom of God is within me in the way that I live, in the way that I act, that others see the kingdom living in me. And that in my life, it truly is when I pray your will to be done. I want his will to be done truly. That's my desire. Because if that's the case within us, then we pray that prayer both for now and in the future. And it means the same thing, in or on. Because at the end of the day, it starts with us. It starts with us. Will we surrender to the kingdom of God? Will we surrender to the will of God? Will we truly pray, not my will, but thy will be done? Not my kingdom, but your kingdom be done in my life or take place in my life. See, and one of the ways you can do this is as you pray. And I'm not telling you not to pray for things. In fact, I'm encouraging you to even pray more. But pray appropriately. One of the things, as we're praying for things, test what you're praying for against Scripture. God is never going to put on your heart to pray or to receive things that are not in line with his will that he's already put out in Scripture. Lord, I'm just tired of her. I want a divorce. I'm sorry, the Word says no divorce. Right? Well, Lord, I think in my case, you know my heart. Yeah, I do. That's why I said it. See, go filter everything through the Word. If the Word already commands it one way or the other, then you stay with the Word of God. If you want the kingdom of God ruling and reigning in your heart, if you want his will to be done. And you and I cannot live the kingdom life, cannot have his will be done unless we are praying according to the power of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. You can't. We can't do it. But he will do it in us and through us. The Holy Spirit has the power to do it within us. So when we pray for things, we need to pray with that way. Lord, this is my desire. And that's good. Pray your desires to God. But instead of just adding thy will be done as some way to sound more spiritual or to say, oh, now you'll hear my prayer because I said the words, thy will be done. Really mean it, thy will be done. Lord, this is what I desire, but you know better than me. Lord, this is what would line up with my kingdom outlook, but I want your kingdom outlook. I want your perfect will to be done. And when you're not sure, seek good, wise, biblical counseling. There are those that he's put in our life, those that will not just be echo chambers or tell you, just do what you feel or do this. God knows you. Right now. No, those who will say, this is what God said. Are you in line with God's will? Are you trying? Do you want God's will? Do you really want the kingdom of God in your life? And they'll be speaking to you real hard truth in love and checking you. Yeah, don't just get the people to be, yeah, cool, whatever, I'll pray for you. Yeah, no. Tell me, am I off here? Yeah, according to God's word, you are, you know? And then when God, you know, shows you that an area of your life is you're praying for the kingdom and the will to be done, and he shows you that door is closed, stop kicking against it. Stop banging your head against it. All you're going to get is a broken foot and a headache. Say, Lord, if the door is closed, then it's not your will. It's not part of your kingdom plan for me. So, Lord, can you show me an open door? And if he says, wait, you know what you do? You wait till he gives you the open door. And while you're waiting, he's doing something actively. You're not just waiting for waiting's sake. He's working something out in you and somebody else in a situation that you don't know. And then when God opens the door, then go through it. And you pray, we always pray, oh, if I get peace in this situation, well, make sure that peace is not the peace of this world, that it's a godly peace. Oh, if I only got this prayer answered, I'd have real peace in my life. Well, if it's not according to the will of God, guess what? You're not going to get any peace. You may get it for 5 minutes. You may get it for a couple days. And then you're going to have, oh, such a lack of peace. You're going to have terror. But you know when it's the peace of God, because when a situation takes place and you're walking in the will of God, even when it doesn't feel right, in other words, to your flesh and it hurts you, you're at perfect peace. You're at perfect peace. Lord, I why did this happen in my life? Well, it's part of the will of the Father. I don't understand your will. That's okay. Trust me, child. I'm doing something that you can't even understand. Something greater than you. Greater than the situation, and it's for the kingdom's sake that I'm working something out. Trust me. Trust me. And when you trust the Father, the peace of God that surpasses human understanding will guard your heart and mind. So as we close this up, I was thinking this morning, when we come to the communion table, one of the things that we're supposed to do is do this in remembrance of him, right? He said, do this in remembrance of me. And we rightly so say, well, remember his great sacrifice on the cross, his dying for us, his broken body, the blood shed for us. And yes, we always remember that. We're always thankful. We're eternally thankful. And Lord, but we have to remember that the remembrance of him is even more than that. It's remembering him. You understand what I'm saying? Not just what he did, but him. Do this in remembrance of me, not just my works, but of me. And think about that. What did he teach them in that table before they actually shared the cup together? What did he teach them? He taught them some amazing things. He taught them how to love one another. He commanded them to love one another. What's the kingdom of God look like? Loving one another. He commanded them and showed them a better way of living. Wash one another's feet. In other words, consider the other one better than you. Humble yourself to serve somebody else. That's not part of your agenda. Not part of your desire for kingdom living. No, in my kingdom, I'm the one who's getting served. No, in God's kingdom, we serve. He taught them, again, to love one another. And he said, when you love one another in here, then the world out there will know you are mine. And if they want to see kingdom living, when you love one another, in spite of all the other stuff and the reasons you shouldn't love one another, the world's going to know that you are mine. And there's going to be an opportunity then for them to see the kingdom of God and want it for themselves. And then he also said to them before that, abide in me. Abide in me. Guess what? He's going to come when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, and he's going to abide in you. The Holy Spirit's going to live in you. And by that Holy Spirit power, we can learn what it means to abide in Jesus. And he said, when you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Good fruit, lasting fruit. And all of that does is do what? Achieve the kingdom's purposes. Achieve the plan of the will of the Father. Because we have been left here to show the world his kingdom. So we have to become kingdom people who do always the will of the Father that he has designed for us. Father, thank you for your kingdom. Lord, let us be Maranatha people and pray thy kingdom come quickly, Lord. We desire it. But as we wait upon that time, then, Lord, let us be so also quick to say, Lord, let your kingdom come in my life. Let your kingdom come and rule on the throne of my heart. Lord, let your will be done in every area and aspect of my life, even when I don't understand it, even when sometimes it hurts, even when it's confusing, even when it makes no sense at all to me. Lord, I pray that your will, your perfect will, we trust you enough that you have a better plan, you have a better purpose, and it's greater than me, it's greater than my kingdom, it's greater than all those things that I desire. Lord, it's so much better. Because truly, Lord, in every area, ultimately, in the future, and actively right now, I desire your kingdom come, your will be done in this earth, as it will be one day on earth, just as it is in heaven. So, Father, help us today to learn to abide in you as you abide in us, that we would please you in all things, and we would see kingdom living amongst us now as we wait for the eternal kingdom.